Don mentioned, we got the privilege and the blessing to go with our youth on Friday over to Seattle. We took 10 youth and 6 or 7 adults, and it was wonderful. It was a great experience, and it was done because we have kindness in our community. We had some budget money, but not enough. We had donations to help with tickets. We had donations to help with dinner for them. We had donations to help with breakfast for them. We had a congregation, Edmonds UU, where Reverend Cecilia, who some of you know, serves. They put us up for the night, so we got to sleep in their loft area where their teens get to play and hang out and meet each other. So we've got some youth that have some high expectations for our new building. They want their own youth loft now. So we were able to do this out of the generosity and the kindness in our community, both within these walls and our larger walls. Some of those donations did not just come from here. We also, the person that was able to help us with dinner for Friday night also gave us enough money for them each to be able to get a souvenir after the show. So that was kind of cool for them too. And I'll get to the play here in a minute. But first I want to talk about fake kindness. We all know what fake kindness is, right? It's that Midwestern kindness. No? That, how are you? Oh, I'm just fine. Oh, that's good. Okay. Or, we just smile at each other, walk on. It's all on the surface. Or the Southern kindness. And I'm not trying to, I'm from the Midwest. So, you know, I've got really good friends from the south part of the country, but that Southern kindness, oh, bless your heart. That's not what it means. Not what it means by any means, right? I think my best friend Erica gave my kids a tool when it comes to friendships, and I think it explains the difference between fake kindness and authentic kindness. You know, at Easter time when you have chocolate bunnies, and you have those hollow bunny chocolates and the solid bunny chocolates. My friend Erica told my kids and her kids, you know who your real friend is when they're the solid bunny friends. They're the ones that are there. They're the ones that take the time to listen, to get to know you, that accept you as you are, right? That stop and really see you. And those weaknesses and those imperfections, they don't care. They embrace them with you, right? And they lift you up. They do not bring you down. Those are your solid, funny friends. Right? That's the signs of authentic kindness. So why was it important for us to take our teenagers to this play in Seattle? Well, the play is called Dear Evan Hansen, and it deals with a topic that's very prevalent in our valley, and that's suicide. A teenager commits suicide, and a community response. And the main character, Evan Hansen, and the teen, Connor Murphy, who commits suicide, are that invisible boy that we heard in that story earlier. But not only are they the invisible boy, but the sister of the brother who commits suicide, other students in the school that are affected, the mother and the father of the boy, the mother of Evan Hansen, all of them are dealing in some way, shape, or form of being invisible and not being seen. Some of us, when we feel that, we feel that we just don't have a place and we don't matter, and it's not going to matter if we're here or not. Some of us come to a place where we find anything and everything outside of ourselves to fill that void, right? So there's one student that has a list of achievements beyond, I mean, multiple, and that's how she introduces herself. I'm so, I can't remember the character's name, I'm so and so, and I'm president of this, and I do this, and I do this, and I do this, and so the long line. Then you've got the mom of Connor Murphy, who she's going around and trying to find as many different spiritualities and hobbies that she can find. And you've got Evan Hansen. Evan Hansen was in the same place that Connor Murphy was. But Evan decided not. He fell out of a tree. He let go. But it didn't take his life. And that's something that we don't learn. So if you ever go see the play, it's going to be ruined. But it's worth seeing it. So Evan Hansen is faced with this death of Connor Murphy. And just before Connor takes his life, him and Evan have an interaction that creates this story for the parents and the sister that think that they were the best friends they could ever be. And Evan Murphy feeds into it. Not out of a place of trying to be hurtful, but because he meets these parents and they're so hopeful, please tell us about our son. Please tell us about our son. We want to know him. And you were his best friend. There's events that conspired to make them think he was his best friend. Please tell him. And so he feeds into this and feeds into this. And then people around the school feed into it and they keep going. So the teens and the adults talked on Saturday morning while we were eating breakfast, and we're like, well, was that kindness? Was that a form of kindness? And we struggled, because in a way it was. It helped heal. It helped heal the family. Out of that whole effort came this rejuvenation of an orchard that they had visited as a family when Connor and his sister were little, and that orchard was opened again, and the family went in and had picnics regularly after it opened again, and it was a healing spot, and it came out of the work of Evan. So Evan tried, but it was still a falsehood, right? It wasn't based on reality. Now, the family could have destroyed Evan by telling that this friendship that he made up wasn't real, and that all of these things that he did weren't real, but they decided not to. That's a kindness. They were able to see him for who he was, and that he was really trying to work from his heart, trying to help heal, and just got caught up. But I think the person that embraced the most authentic kindness, I'm going to get choked up because it's a mom, was Evan's mom. Because she could see her son. She could see the pain that he was going through, but they couldn't connect. And when she finally found out that this whole thing that he created, this huge thing that he created, was a lie, she met him where he was and held him and said to him, I see you and I love you still. And that's authentic kindness. And yes, it's expected from a mom, but, no, not that. And it can be expected from all of us, too. the main theme of the whole play and our story this morning, the tagline, the hashtag, whatever you want to say, the moral, you will be found. You will be found. You will be seen. And one of the songs is called Disappear, and this is the one line that jumps out. No one should flicker out or have any doubt that it matters they are here. No one should flicker out or have any doubt that it matters they are here. So when we're talking about authentic kindness, when we're talking about how we treat each other within these walls, within our larger world, what we're called into is seeing each other. Not called into our judgments, not called into our agendas, not called into the stories that we've created about each other. We're called into seeing each other, into finding each other, into hearing each other, into listening to each other. We're not in that place of trying to create the joke, right? From our song. We're not in the place of trying to create the joke. We're in the place of trying to dissolve the joke. We're in the place of trying to see each other for who we are. Naomi Shihab Nye has another poem called Kindness. And this is a couple stanzas from it. Before you know kindness as the deepest thing inside, you must know sorrow as the other deepest thing. You must wake up with sorrow, you must speak it till your voice catches the thread of all sorrows and you seize the size of the cloth. Then it is only kindness that makes sense anymore. Only kindness that ties your shoes and sends you out in the day to mail letters and purchase bread. Only kindness that raises its head from the crowd of the world to say, it is I you have been looking for, and then goes everywhere with you, everywhere, like a shadow or a friend. So when I'm getting ready for preaching and stuff, the themes sit there in my head, and I'm observing the world and stuff. And so I was in the mind frame this last month of, okay, where can I find kindness? Where can I see it, right? And our youth are amazing. Like Don said, if you ever get the chance to be with our youth, you can find some kindness there. How many of you know that several of our elementary schools have something called a buddy bench? Yeah? A buddy bench is put on the playground, and it's designated. Lee has one. I think even our middle schools are starting to get them, but many of them have. So it's a bench in the playground, and if anybody in the school at any time while they're out there feels like they're that invisible boy, they'll go sit on that bench. And there are students who know that means that person needs to connect with somebody. And so they go to that bench and they connect with them. Isn't that cool? That's our students. Our students did that. I got the opportunity, my son was in Les Miserables at Eastmont High School, and I got the opportunity to be backstage with the youth and hang out with them. And, okay, high school was not fun for me. So I was not looking forward to hanging out with a bunch of high schoolers. But I was shocked. And I shouldn't have been, because I know our youth. But I was shocked by how kind and how grateful every student I interacted with were. They, without even being prompted, they came up and said, thank you so much for being here. We couldn't have done this without your help. I'm like, I'm just holding up your outfit for you to put on. But every single one of them came up and thanked all of the adults that were there. Isn't that amazing? And I want to lift that up because I often hear from adults, those kids are only on their phones. They never look up. They don't see each other. They don't talk to each other. Well, I'm challenging that because they're some of the nicest people I know. And they live into that kindness in ways that we can learn from. The other thing that I see in our youth that us as adults could learn from is that acceptance of each other. Acceptance. Right now, many of us have ideas around when somebody has differing opinions, whether it be politics or religion or anything, that we put up our hand and say, it's not worth my time. Our youth aren't doing that. Can I share? Okay. So we were at the Women's March, and Bree and Natalie has a group of friends, and a majority of their group of friends were participating with the Women's March. But their group is so diverse that they also had a couple of their friends in the pro-life area. And they're able to be friends, they're able to listen to each other, they're able to hang out with each other, and talk about it. It's not like they go like, you know, okay, you just believe that and we just won't even talk about it, like some of our family dinners. We're just not gonna talk about these specific topics, right? No, they get into it. They talk to each other about it. But then they're still friends and they still hug and they still hang out. That's really embracing, accepting each other. So again, we can learn from our youth. Now I'm not gonna say us adults don't do some caring as well. Where I see our kindness is when people in our community are going through surgery, have had some kind of illness, and we have a caring committee, we have a pastoral care team, and we offer meals, and we offer rides, and we offer all these things. And sometimes we get taken up on the offer, but oftentimes you all just take care of each other so well that you just do it yourselves. And that's awesome. That's where I see our kindness happen in our community. Kindness puts us in vulnerable places. When we need kindness, we're in a vulnerable place. I experienced kindness when my dad was in hospice. I looked to the hospice nurse and I said, help us. We need to know how to help him be comfortable and help him die gracefully. Help us. And that nurse helped us be able to do that. Kindness leaves us vulnerable. Kindness asks us to step into places of need, of acknowledging where we are invisible and letting people know that. So we've got a couple minutes. Where do you see kindness? Where have you seen some kindness?
Hi, I'm new to the area, and obviously new to the area for the first time. This is kindness. And my neighbor is so kind, helping me out when I need little things or big things. And I've only been here like a few months. But it's just awesome. Love it here.
I am Kathleen. I'm a big hiker. And I have one thing that terrifies me. Actually two, but I'll tell you the first one. You know when you're crossing a slippery log and you're suspended over a raging rapid stream, or actually a river, it feels like a river. It's a creek, called a creek around here. And I'm from Michigan. Anyway, I panic, and there are sharp rocks, and the rushing water, and it's slippery. And so in the middle, I panic. I have a panic attack, and I freeze, and I lose my balance, and I'm afraid to take a step forward. And all my friends have walked across the darn thing. They always just tromp across. But Karen, what I end up doing, I've done this, it feels like hundreds of times, I drop down to my hands and feet and crawl across like a baby bear. And I always get across, I've never fallen. But my hiking partner, Karen, has been coming back and giving me a hand. And I can't tell you how much that helps to have someone come back, outstretch their hand, and help me across when I'm panicked.
I'm new here also. My name is Nick Davis, and I just do a 360-degree turn, and kindness is right here. And I thank you very, very much.
My hope is we can be the community that can embrace that message, you will be found. That we can go out in our community and we can see somebody that might feel invisible and go up and just say, good morning, and see them, right? My hope is we continue to do that here. But remember, we are an experimental lab for what we want to take out into the world, right? So don't forget to take that authentic kindness outside these doors. Don't forget to embrace some of those things our youth are already doing. Remember, Brené Brown says, no one reaches out to you for compassion or empathy so you can teach them how to behave better. They reach out to us because they believe in our capacity to know our darkness well enough to sit in the dark with them. Let us be that people. Let us be that people where we can go out and we can embrace finding people, letting them know they're not invisible. Amen. Please rise in body or spirit.